All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, April 1st of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a 6-game NBA main slate today. We have a 7-game MLB main slate, and then we have an 8-game NHL main slate. So plenty of DFS action coming at you today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So being that it is a Monday, we have to announce the winners for this week's PGA Mini Challenge. This was week three of the four-week challenge. Still going strong with the $3 20 max birdie contest here. And it looks like our highest scoring finisher of the week this week was Chad Deek with a fourth place finish and 551 points. Chad is going to be getting a quarter inch zip pullover. And then right now we are going to do a spin to see who wins free entry into next week's birdie $3 20 max contest. So I've got the list of everybody who participated, all 82 people. And we are going to spin to see who gets free entry into next week's contest. Looks like our winner is Dicebox. Congratulations. You are going to get free entry into next week's birdie contest for PGA. Our support team will reach out to both of the winners. Appreciate you guys participating. There is 1 week left, and then we will let you guys know what else is on the horizon here with leading up to the Masters. So not going to give anything away. This mini challenge was a good first experiment here. We have some more exciting things on the horizon for you. So get in on the action. Still one more week here to see if anybody takes down the birdie and wins the SaberSim golf bag. So we've had a bunch of high scores, second, fourth. Hopefully somebody can crack it and get first. It looks like Rashid said I was close until those final three holes. Was a really fun contest to watch all weekend. I was sweating it with you guys, so it was a good time. But with that said, I'm going to get SaberSim pulled up here. We are going to jump into our regularly scheduled show here and get some questions answered. So it looks like our first question came in from Maze over the weekend here. Question says, question on contest selection. I mostly play on FanDuel, and following the profit plan leads me to play the $5 150 max contest and throwing in some single entry lineups around that. I have heard multiple people say that from an ROI standpoint, the 5-cent and 25-cent are not the best contests since they are incredibly hard to bink and the payout structure is very flat, 5% to first, 30% to cash. For ROI and building a bankroll, would I be better focused on smaller 3-max contests that have a payout structure of larger contests, meaning 20 to 25% to first and approximately 20% cash rate? My opinion is, you know, I've watched these contests in the lobby a lot. And these are like the most common contests to not fill. Like you will see, you know, the piggy bank overlay more than like any other contest in the lobby, at least like during basketball season. They'll, you know, make it like 150,000 entries and like maybe it gets to like rake free or something like that. So I think that those are some of the best contests in the lobby. You're right that you're not going to get, you know, some huge bink from it, but with the contest not filling very often, with the payout structure, you know, I think that you can have high ROIs in those contests. So I wouldn't shy away from them. I think that, you know, if you want to, like the profit plan says, you know, 25 to 50% of your nightly bankroll allocation in single entry and 3-max, and then 50 to 75% in 20-max and 150-max. The reason we give that band, that we give that, you know, percentage from 25 to 50, 50 to 75, is to allow you some flexibility to make some of those decisions on your own. So if you're like playing, you know, 75% and you're like 20-max 150s and 25% in your single entry and 3-max, and you want to shift that to be closer to 50-50, I think that's fine. I think I would, you know, still play these contests, even if you're not putting in 150 entries. Remind you, you don't have to max out a contest to play it. You can put in 10 entries. You can put in 20. You can put in 50. You put in 100, right? You don't have to max it to play it. So if you want to do something like that, you know, instead of maxing out the 25 cent, which is like $37.50, and you want to put in 20 lineups, which is like $10, and put take that extra $27.50 and go put it in something else, like, hey, you could totally do that, right? So just remember, you don't have to max it out, and you have some flexibility with our recommendations. All right. Question from T. Swift. Question says, I'm noticing that I'm still not getting any actual points showing up for any of my DK baseball slates the next day. I would like to review my teams and process, but I can't if I don't have the actual scores of the players. Can you please advise? Yeah, so right now we're working through a little bit of just like early season MLB data stuff. So the actual scores for FanDuel are up in the app. Like if I go back to yesterday's FanDuel slate here and I pull this up, I'm going to see the actual scores. But right now at the moment, we're not loading them for DK. So it's a problem that the team is working on the back end. And I am not 100% sure when it will be done. I'm hoping that'll be done this week. That way people can start reviewing their actual scores on DraftKings as well. I do believe if you go to Contest Flashback, the actuals will be there. So although you can't see them on your build, if you go back to Flashback, and then like I go to a contest from yesterday, I am going to see actual scores for the players. Like if I expand this and just look at like the I can see the actual scores down on the bottom. And that's about it right now for DraftKings. So team's working through it, trying to get that fixed, but just wanted to give you what I had in the meantime. But definitely high up on our priority list because we know a lot of people use those actual scores. All right, question from Monarch. Question says, MLB exposures. I always seem to be given super contrarian, low ceiling stacks for 5-man so far this season. For example, the other night, my pool exposure was normal. Allocation to teams like the Dodgers or D-backs was strong, but the actual exposure I was getting were almost all Red Sox. I had to nuke uniques to 7 just to get away from 50% Boston stacks. On a night, they ended up getting shut out and had a total of 4 hits. Why are my actual exposures mimicking at all my pool exposures? So this probably comes down to the sorting metric that you're using here. And, you know, this is actually like something that came up a lot at, so when contest sims were first released, they were released in like September of last year, and they were released at like toward the end of baseball season. So like baseball was like one of the first sports that people were using contest sims on. And what we noticed during baseball season is that when people were sorting by ROI, they were getting a lot of really, really contrarian lineups. And the reason for that is because when we run the contest sims 100,000 times, well, when these teams, you know, say you're stacking against the chalky pitcher or something like that, like really contrarian, low-owned hitters, well, when that stack has a good game, it has a very clear and easy path to first place more often than not. So the ROIs of those lineups end up doing really well. Well, the problem is that, you know, the slate only plays out, you know, one time, right? And we're simming it, you know, 100,000 times. So what we saw was that, hey, the lineups that you're getting when you sort by ROI tend to be very, very leveraged. And that is when we went and created risk-adjusted ROI because we figured like, hey, we need to do something here to lower the, you know, massive stands that these lineups are taking, and risk adjusted ROI was our attempt at doing that. So risk adjusted ROI is the omega ratio of the lineup. It's looking at how often the lineup wins and how much it wins versus how often the lineup loses and how much it loses. And then it is giving the lineups a grade based on that. So, you know, risk adjusted ROI is a good first step, but I also think there are other things you can do in your risk management process. And then here, just kind of look at like, hey, what are the highest pool exposure teams I'm getting? What are my exposures to them overall? And then maybe you just adjust this slightly, right? So here I see that like, okay, I'm getting the most St. Louis. I'm getting a lot of Houston, but it. Come in here and set a minimum exposure to both of those teams. Like, you know what? I'm going to want, you know, at least, you know, 15% of each team here just to make sure I'm getting to like some of these higher pool exposures, even if they're not showing up by default in my top 20, and take exposure away from some of these teams that might be showing up a ton here, right? And this is like effectively risk management. You're coming in here and you're saying, hey, you know, I want to get a little bit more spread out with some of my stands. I don't just want to play these super high leverage teams, and I want to get some more exposure to the teams that are showing up most often. So I think this is a fine step to do here. When I was doing a demo of like building MLB lineups on Friday, I did something exactly like this, where our highest pool exposure was to the Giants and we didn't really have any of them, and I went and forced some minimum exposure to them. So I think this is fine. Really comes down to your sorting metric that you're using. SaberSim is a great tool. It doesn't understand risk management that well, just because it sees player combinations and teams that do well and just really wants to jam those in at a high rate. So that is one of the best places for you to come in and add value to the process, is some of these, you know, minor tweaks and decisions as far as getting exposure to additional teams and spreading out that risk. All right. Question from Adam Perry. Question says, do you have any ideas or parts of your own process to help diversify within stacks? In other words, when I set exposures on the stack level, I still get a lot of clumping, i.e. the same players in all or most of my five-mans from a given team. Mini-Neeks takes care of this a bit, but not nearly enough. I can get around the problem by going in and Xing out some of the lineups, or after setting stacks, editing individual player exposures, but that's really slow and tedious. So one of my favorite things to do is go to players and then whatever team like you're most exposed to, right? So like take the Yankees, for example, in about, you know, almost 50% of my lineups, I'm going to go to players. I'm going to go to all batters, and then I'm going to filter for the Yankees. And then what I'm doing is I'm going to sort by order here. And what I really want to do is I want to see, okay, you know, how much exposure am I getting to each player in the lineup? And is there somebody that's like far and away being used more? And I want to spread it out. So like in this example, you know, we have 0% Giancarlo Stanton batting in the four hole, but, you know, we have a ton of other exposure to every other player on the team here. So what I'm open to is like setting like bands here, right? Like, okay, you know, I don't want more than this much of anybody, but I want at least this much. So I think one thing you could do here, go back to your team stacks. You know, the Yankees are already in 45% of your lineups. So one thing that could happen is if you start messing with these player exposures, it could just add Yankees lineups. Well, let's say like, okay, hey, you know, I'm already fine with how many Yankees we're getting, so let's just cap it. And then now let's work around some of these exposures and see how we can mix this up. So maybe I want, you know, at least, you know, the lowest any player is in two lineups at 10%. So I'm going to say I want at least 10% Giancarlo Stanton. And then I think maybe something you could do here is look at like pool exposure. So something that we've talked about in the past is like, hey, what's like a good leverage? And we talked about like 2 to 3x the player's ownership or something like that. So, you know, 2 to 3x, like the highest owned player is like 60%. So nobody's above that threshold. You know, if that still feels too high to you, you can do the same thing with like your pool exposure. So like here, I don't see anybody's pool exposure over about 12%. So maybe I don't want anybody in more than like 35% of my lineups. So I'm gonna set Giancarlo Stanton to this minimum 10%. Maybe I set everybody to minimum 10. And then maybe I set everybody to maximum 35. So this way, you know, I'm coming in here and I'm only doing this for like, you know, one, two teams, right? In this example, I'm only doing it to my highest exposed team stack. But maybe in other examples, you know, you're doing it to a couple teams, but I don't think you have to do this, you know, for every team, just a few. And then now I'm coming in here and say, hey, let's get exposure to everybody. Let's cap the top exposure. Let's set a minimum and let's make sure that we get a little bit more spread out on this team. Right. And then we also capped the team stack max exposure. So we know we're not going to get any more there. So now we're getting 35. I think you could do this for, you know, one to two teams and not have it be that tedious. The great thing is that MLB lineups come out very, very far in advance. So you should have plenty of time to go through that process, but it shouldn't take too long once you get it down. All right. FL Bear said, I'm not getting how to use late swap and value. I'm not seeing many of any changes. You know, late swap is a great tool for NBA when players get ruled out, when, you know, LeBron James gets ruled out in like the last game of the night, and then, you know, AD and D'Lo and Rui Hachimura get all this extra, you know, usage and their fantasy points go up. Like, it makes a lot of sense to late swap, right? In baseball, it's going to be a little bit different. And one thing that's happened here early in the season is that a lot of these games have started like around the same time. So when the game times are really, really close, you're not going to get as much value from late swapping. So where the value from late swapping really comes in is with the live contest sims. So I see here that you're on the standard plan. So the only time I would late swap if you're on the standard plan is if, you know, somebody gets ruled out, like maybe the Dodgers decide to sit like Shohei and like Freddie Freeman, and like Mookie Betts for like whatever reason. It's going to be a lot more, lot less often here. So late swap in general is going to be less impactful in a sport like baseball. But where it could be important is if you have live contest sims, because let's say that, you know, you have a stack of the Mets in like the first game of the day and, you know, you're really heavy on, gosh, I don't want to say anybody who's like not on the team anymore. You know, maybe you're really heavy on like Pete Alonso and he hits a home run, his first at bat and like a double. And like, you know, his projection is his live projection is far outpacing his average projection, right? Well, like that is something that you're going to want to take into account when you're rebuilding your lineups, you know, for the rest of the slate, right? So today's a pretty interesting slate because I'm on the West Coast, so it's like 4:10 p.m. and then 5:10 p.m. And then those are the only two games that start before 6:40. And then there's five late games. So you're going to have a pretty good idea of like how the first two games of the night are going before you get to like the last window. So like if you're on Saber Sim Ultimate and you have the live sims, I would definitely recommend late swapping before the 6:40 games, because that's going to be like a really good opportunity to be like, hey, how these first two games played out, and then how can we optimize our lineups for the rest of the slate? So late swap in MLB is going to be more important if you have access to the live contest sims. All right, Bluffer78 said, is there a way to bulk update the calculated team score? I'm looking into trying some different methods to add value. Additionally, is there a way to filter on a team after running the build if you wanted to drill down and only see stacks for that team? Thanks. Okay, so it looks like there's two questions here. So the first one, is there a way to bulk update the calculated team score? So the way to change the team totals is to go to the team stacks tab and look at the projected runs column. And then this is on a team by team basis. So you can't say like, hey, set everybody's projected runs to 5 or something like that. You're going to have to go in here and adjust them one by one for the teams. And then the second part was, is there a way to filter on a team after running the build if you wanted to look at that team only? Yes. So the easiest way to do that is with the plus and minus magnifying glasses. So say that, you know, I'm looking at my top 20 lineups and I want to see only the Yankees stacks, right? So what I would do is I would filter, click the plus on the Yankees, and then it would pull up only the Yankees stacks. And then one other thing that would happen is that the projections will update showing you the exposures across those 7 lineups. So by filtering for those Yankee stacks, I'm seeing, okay, Austin Wells is in all 7. Aaron Judge is in 5. Gleyber Torres is in 5. I see that 2 of the lineups have Tyler Freeman, et cetera, right? You could also use the team filters to look at it that way. So there's a couple different ways to filter, whether it be teams, whether it be team stacks with the magnifying glasses, all those things. So I would give one of those a shot and see if it is what you are looking for. All right, jumping over to the YouTube chat. Question from OG. Is there some kind of custom metric I can create that can measure the similarity of my lineups besides just looking at player exposures? So there isn't a way to do that. The best way to prevent that is to use the Minuniques option. So what Minuniques does is it's basically describing how many players are shared between a lineup. So at Minuniques of one, this is the default. We're saying that, hey, you can't, we're telling the builder that it cannot build the same lineup for you twice, that every lineup in your pool must have at least one player different. Now, when you start increasing this, the best thing to do is scroll down to the last lineup in your set. This would be easier if I didn't have any min or max exposure set. So I'm just going to reset the build. And then now I'm looking at like my top 20 lineups again. So when I set the Minuniques to two, it drops to lineup 21. So it basically skipped one lineup saying like, hey, at least one lineup only had 9 out of 10 players the same. And then at the higher I increase this, you know, if I go to five, what this is going to say is like, hey, all 20 of these lineups have at least 5 players that are different from every other lineup. So like this is decreasing the correlation between your lineups as you make it higher. And then the builder is going further and further down in your set of 500 lineups that we've run here to find lineups that meet that criteria. So that is how you do it. There isn't like a way to measure that or analyze it in a different sense. All right, question from Ryan. The Saber Sim contest selection wants you to play $4 before the $1 minimax. Should you also play the $4 before the 50 cent minimax? I would say yes. I would say that the $1 and the 50 cent minimax play very, very similarly. And I would play the $4 before either of those. All right, question from David. MLB, I normally play 20 max. Should I? I normally play 20 max on DraftKings, 5-2 stacks most of the time, 4-3 stacks on FanDuel. Should I be using uniques? And if so, what is a magic number? So I do think that using uniques is good. I would continue to use them just kind of like based on what we were talking about right here. You know, there isn't a magic number. What I like to do is just like set it to like half of however many players are in my lineup as like a default. I've talked to like Jordan and he's released some content on this. Like, hey, you know, max it out and then use one less than the max. Ultimately, you know, Minuniques is a diversification tool. And what I think is more important to do is to go to your players tab and go over to your leverages and your exposures and then see how these adjust as you change this number, right? So at like a Minuniques of one, we have 2 players over 50% as batters. I'll go to all players actually. You know, we have 4 players over 50%, 2 are pitchers, 2 are batters, and then nobody under 35. And then if I go up to, you know, maybe 7 I can get to here, probably. At 7 Minuniques, I still have plenty of options. You know, I have 3 pitchers between 35 and 40%. My batters are way, way, way lower now, right? So my first batter is Austin Wells at 20% in 20% of my lineup. So he went from like 50 to 20%. So, you know, I could even go higher, right? Like this is the range that Jordan would want you to be at. So the important thing is like, hey, what do these leverages look like? What do these exposures look like? Are you happy with them? For me, I'm a little bit more risky. I'm fine with 5. You know, 5 Minuniques is fine. It's like kind of in the ranges I want for my pitchers and my batters. You know, Jordan is like, hey, you know, let's crank that thing up to like 7-8. Let's get really spread out. So it depends on like the type of player you are. You have to figure that out for yourself. You know, this will change based on the slate size. You might be playing in 7-game main slate one day, and then one day you might be playing the 3-game main slate and you're going to be able to get to a lower number, right? So be aware of some of those things as, you know, the slates change day to day. All right. Question from Jay Stanger. Question says, getting started in dialing in my MLB process, is there a good way to limit chalk stacks such as they only show up as a stack and not as a one-off? Yeah, what you could do here, you know, let's say that like you don't want to use one-offs of the highest team total tonight. So looks like the Yankees are the highest team total. So then what I would do is go in and set a group rule and then change use to if. And then I would say if at least one, and then I would click in the Yankees. I don't know if they're pitchers here. Let's see. I'm going to leave the pitcher out. So if at least one batter from the Yankees, then use at least, and we'll say at least 3 from the Yankees as well, and you click in the same guys. So then this way, it's like, hey, if I'm using a Yankees batter, I at least want them to be a four stack since they're the highest team total of the night, and they're probably going to be pretty chalky. So something like this would work for what you're trying to accomplish. All right. Looks like we are all caught up with questions here in both the Discord and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Our support team will reach out to the winners for the PGA mini challenge for this week. So thank you all for participating. I will be right back here tomorrow, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.